The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Homes and businesses in Ireland will be asked to avoid using electricity at peak times throughout the day in order to avoid a winter blackout. Now, this comes as the country has seen 13 system alerts to the power grid in the last 2 years and 4 amber alerts issued in the past month alone. So what can we do to reduce our electricity demand, and what would a blackout mean if it were to happen? Well, Brian O'Gallagher is Director of MARAI and Professor of Energy Engineering at UCC. You know him from his contributions to the green scene over the past while. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm looking at the generation of electricity this morning on the Smart Grid app that AirGrid have. And I see gas accounts for 80% of what we are using at the moment. Coal, 9.1%. Renewables, only 4.89%. And then there are others at 5.77%. We are hugely dependent on gas and even on coal.
That's right. And we also have set significant emission reduction targets, as is appropriate. So we have, we're facing into a challenging winter on a number of fronts. We need to ensure we have adequate electricity supplies. We have a new threat, which is a potential disruption to gas supplies arising from Putin's invasion into Ukraine. We also have rising levels of energy poverty associated with the energy price increases, and we have our emission reduction targets. So there's a lot to contend with this winter, and there are kind of a number of key aspects in the solution space. One is, as you mentioned, reducing demand where we can for electricity and for gas, and this needs to be across the board in terms of there are sort of information bulletins going out to homes and businesses. But in parallel, we're talking about connecting new data centres. So we need to have a real coherence around the demand reduction message. Mm. We also need to accelerate energy efficiency and renewable energy to increase the supply. Energy efficiency to help us reduce our energy use even more so, like things like getting our boiler serviced this side of the winter heating season, but also retrofitting, and that could help. That should be targeted specifically at those facing energy poverty. And then we need gas power plants.
We'll talk about that, because I know your contention is that the market has failed us, and we'll talk about how that might be addressed. But for instance, when we had the amber alerts last week, we know that the country was becalmed. So there was no wind. Correct. And there was precious little showing up on the grid. I mean, if the turbines were turning at all, they were turning very lazily in whatever little breeze there was there. So we were getting no wind. So we had to depend on Money Point, which is, a polluting plant. We had to depend on gas. Even Thurlock Hill was brought into use to deal with peak. But also, we had a problem with the UK importing from the UK. They, on the other hand, had to export to France because France's nuclear, some of it was offline. What was going on?
Well, those are the kind of multitude of factors. The low wind is something we can anticipate. I mean, we know that wind is variable. And what we need to help us with that, it sounds counterintuitive, but we need to have more gas power plants on the system, but we need to use gas-powered electricity less. And we do that by having the generators there available when we need them, but accelerating the growth of renewables. Like if we had had a lot of solar energy, for example, on our system last week, we would have been making hay while the sun shines. In the UK, as you say, they had to export to France. Normally, the UK would be a net importer of electricity, and we can benefit from that by drawing on some of their electricity. Both their indigenous production, but also imports. They import from typically from Norway and from France. But hydropower in Norway was low because of the heat, the summer season. And as you say, in France, the nuclear power plants were down. And there's a few things happening in France. I mean, one is the heat. So the nuclear power plants have to discharge water into rivers. And they can't operate if they're discharging hot water into rivers at times of great heat. Similarly to us, in terms of our gas power plants, during COVID, there were delays in some of the operation and maintenance on the nuclear power plants in France. And that meant that some of the nuclear power plants were down when they should be available. And in France, equally, they have their nuclear sort of plants are getting old. So as plants get older, they become less available as well. So there's a multitude of things that happened last week. Now, luckily, EirGrid, I mean, and this is the advantage of these amber alerts, it gives us a heads up. It gives the power system, the generators, a heads up. So the generators that were sort of doing operation and maintenance, they had sufficient warning to come back online. So we didn't see any blackouts. We didn't see any disruption in supply. But of course, this is in the summer when demand is lower than it would be in the winter.
Okay. Now, you mentioned
the amber alerts are useful in that respect.
Now, you mentioned that the gas providers of electricity haven't come to the party. In other words, there were contracts that had been agreed, but the generation capacity was never actually produced or delivered. Why was that? Is it because the ambition of the government is to reduce its dependence upon gas, and therefore the economics of gas provision by the private sector is a bit more dodgy?
That's a key part of it, because we actually, and this is the thing, we need to build more gas power plants, but have them available, but not necessarily in use. So that creates an economic challenge. You know, I mean, the market won't normally deliver something like that easily, because you're talking about building something that won't be used very often. But it is a core part of our infrastructural requirements. I mean, we also need to build other things like batteries and other forms of electricity storage. But we need to ensure that we have sufficient electricity capacity available to us when we need it. So when the wind is low, and as we increase the amount of wind power on the system, we're going to need that capacity. But as I say, not to be using it extensively, but to use it only when needed. And so in the normal run of economics of a power plant, that wouldn't make sense. But in the context of an energy security payment, if you like, that's the kind of mechanism we need to develop in order to ensure that these plants can be built. There are a number of them that are now on track for coming into operation next year, and hopefully they will be delivered, because we do need those.
Now, the question of LNG as an alternative source of gas, should we have a difficulty, given our gas comes to us from Corrib, which is depleting, and through the UK from Norway. But if needs must, if there was a squeeze, you could imagine that we might not get the gas we were promised by the UK, although they have said, given it's kind of a single gas market, when you think of pipelines with Northern Ireland, they may not politically be able to deprive Northern Ireland of gas. But all of these things have to be considered. So should we have an independent supply of gas using LNG with a unit down in the Shannon?
Yeah, there's a number of factors here. I mean, the Russian invasion into Ukraine has been a game changer here in this regard, because the security of gas supply, the physical security of gas supply into Ireland has not been an issue. We've been well served by the interconnectors from the UK and by our indigenous resources, as you said, that we had initially at Kinsale and then at Corrib. But since the Russian invasion into Ukraine and the EU decisions to remove its dependence on Russian gas, this changes things completely. And we do need to have a refocused, a re-examination, if you like, reopen some closed conversations around gas security of supply. And that includes, there's three aspects to that, I suppose. One would be gas storage, like we have the disused gas field in Kinsale. We could consider using that. There's LNG as an option to be able to ship in gas supply. And of course, there's, you know, exploration. But the challenge with this, again, it's a bit counterintuitive, because we need to be able to have these resources very quickly over the next number of years in order to help us with the in terms of the EU withdrawal of dependence on Russian gas. But we don't want to lock into fossil fuel infrastructure in a way that we would keep using this gas then in the longer term. And again, that would impact negatively on our climate ambitions. So we need to be able to bring on additional gas supply, diversify our gas supplies in the short term, but then in the long term, avoid lock-in. So to be able to turn off the switch, if you like, equally, as well as turning on that switch. And that's challenging. A lot of the LNG, a lot of the exploration things would take a long time. So it's a real tricky balancing act that we have to play here.
So finally, Brian, the likelihood of blackouts and ordinary consumers being, finding themselves literally in the dark this winter.
The ordinary consumers are the most sheltered. I mean, we do have a kind of, in the situation where we would face a supply disruption of electricity, the householders would be the last to be affected by this. And this is not all EU countries have this in place, but we do have that. So there is clarity around that. In addition, of course, we do have indigenous supplies to our electricity that helps as well to shelter the domestic customers. So I think it's something we need to take seriously this winter. The risk of disruption of supply is greater, but I'm not saying that it's going to happen. You know, we don't know. There is uncertainty around this, so we need to really apply the precautionary principle here.
Brian O'Gallagher, Director of MARAI, Professor of Energy Engineering at UCC, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.